free, young hearts run free, young hearts run free, young hearts run free, young hearts run free! Welcome to Young Hearts Run Free, Season 3, Episode 17. It's a big welcome from me and a big welcome from Stephen Watt. How are you doing, Stephen?
Tickety-boo, John. Tickety-boo.
Good stuff. Main focus of this episode is going to be, well, again, we're revisiting that Anglo-Celtic plate, aren't we?
We are. We're revisiting that tremendous day over in Dublin, or in the burbs of Dublin.
Yeah, but we're going to be hearing from somebody that did their first ever ultramarathon.
Yeah, a ultramarathoner popping of the cherry, shall we say.
Well, I was going to call it a debut, but that's okay. That's okay. We can do that. So we're going to be hearing from Nicky Gibson. And Nicky is a runner based in Edinburgh, running about the bottom of the Pentland Hills. There's a theme emerging doing about there. I wonder if she drinks that Top Out Brewery stuff. That's where they hail from as well, isn't it?
So it is, yeah, yeah. Which is, that's quite a thing, John, actually. I'm pretty low on stocks.
It's almost like we planned that. Anyway, but we didn't. We didn't. Nicky's interview is going to be a wee bit different in as much as you and me are not going to be there.
Oh, we are passing the reins over for a takeover.
Yeah, and if you had somebody that wasn't you and wasn't me, who would you want that to be that was going to speak to somebody doing their first ever ultra?
It would take to be somebody appropriately qualified.
Definitely. So, Graham Connolly?
Swear words would be OTT.
A wee bit too much. One of Graham's pals would be good, though, wouldn't it?
Aye, somebody for that sort of camp.
Aye. So, okay, I'm going to say it if you're not going to say it. Interviewing Nicky on Young Hearts Run Free's behalf is the one and the only Debbie Martin Kinsani. We were very pleased that Debbie agreed to do this wee sort of sidestep for us and speak with Nicky. And I think we were there in the background, just sort of making sure the tech was all right. But it's an absolutely brilliant chat between two, probably, I don't know, they just sound like pals. I'm not sure when they actually met. I don't think it was, it might have been at the Anglo-Celtic plate, but it comes across as a really, really good, friendly chat. Only takes Debbie about 8 seconds to hear a dig at me, which is maybe record timing. But it comes across well. But you know what we should do? And maybe speaking about this, we should give it a bit of context about Debbie's involvement with Scotland and the Anglo-Celtic plate. Do you want to have a wee go at that in case I offend her?
I'm sure you mean the offender. But no, it's just so that, just to frame it a wee bit, so Debbie has been involved in the Anglo-Celtic plate for the last few occasions that it's ran, in her role as team manager. Yeah. For Scotland, joint team manager, almost with Adrian. So that involves, I can like passing somebody paracetamol and lube. That's about it, I think.
That's a wee teaser for the interview today.
and cheering them on. No, I know it's a hell of a lot more than that. But yeah, so that is, maybe comes across in the interview around about that role. So basically, Nicky is one of Debbie's team at the Anglo-Celtic plate, the Scottish team, and that's basically that.
Yeah, that's all we need. I think that sets the context for the conversation. But just want to put it out there as well how much we really appreciate both Nicky's time, but also Debbie's time as well to take on that role. And I'm sure future DMC episodes will be in the offing, as they say. So brilliant. It was great, a great listen, if we say so ourselves. But you know what? Before we get to that interview, I'm going to put you on hold for a wee minute because I've got a number of things we want to speak about, haven't we?
We do. We do. We've got a wee list.
We have. We're organised within it. We call it an agenda, but
No. There is quite a lot been happening. It's been a raucous week in the running world.
Raucous. That's a belter of a word, man. I like a bit of raucous. That's cool. So where do you want to start, Stephen?
Well, let's start with something upbeat.
Okay.
The Lakeland 50 Ultra.
Yes.
Ballot for 2022 was this week. and people found out if they were their name pulled out of the hat or not. And for John, that meant the good news of his name being pulled out of the hat.
It did. I will be drinking the Pish Cola next year, Stevie Bye. I got the congratulations email yesterday tea time on Tenterhooks. There was a WhatsApp chat going off its nut. I got the congratulations one. So I've paid my dues and I'm gonna be in next week. Wasn't it such good news for you, the wee itch?
No, that was a commiseration, Stephen. You've no been picked out of the hat. And I was like, that is that because I'm shite and I didn't finish it last year and like my name's new at the bottom of the list. That's how it maybe felt. But no, I know that there were, you know, there was three times more people applied than there was places. So at the end of the day, there's always going to be quite a few of us who are left out of the party. But that doesn't mean we can't still party.
Exactly, man. Exactly. And I think probably maybe not most of our listeners, but a lot of the listeners will be engaged on social media as well. And you'd have seen that on social media, there was loads of posts about I'm in, I'm out, and there's loads of different things like that. So I think you're right. And we discussed this too, that maybe the popularity of the Lakeland event and other events have increased due to the pandemic and people being more social media aware and wanting to do things. They're not going on holiday so much. So they've got things they're looking to do. So I think all that sort of stuff has come together. But you know what? There's loads, if no hundreds, ultra marathon events to take part in, you know, so.
Yeah. I'm all for new experiences. Me.
100%. Talk. What a segue that is. Talking about new experiences. We must mention the man himself, Paul Giblin, who had one hell of an experience that took him from Land's End to John O'Groats through the trails of, ending up in Bonnie, Scotland, but he also ventured into from England through Wales and back over the border, hame, as they say. So that happened for him. Finished tea time last night too.
Phenomenal effort to think of the distance and terrain that he's covered in that 29 days.
29, aye.
Yeah, 1,200 plus miles. John, you've got the facts. 1,215?
Exactly that. That was what it was planned at the outset. It'd be interesting to hear what the actual final was, because I'm sure, I think we've seen at the start, he was battering nettles and briars and all that sort of stuff with a big stick just to try and get through some of the trails. And I know, I think he seemed to get reinvigored, the word is new. He seemed to get reinvigored when he crossed the border and he met a lot of his pals.
Definitely. Looks like he got a boost when he got hame, like you say.
Aye. I think, too, Paul's whole thing is to inspire other people. Or no, just Paul, the whole pylon thing is to inspire other people. And it's certainly done that. Reading some of the comments on social media, there's been a hell of an engagement, which is brilliant. Big hats off to him. Absolutely brilliant. And the support.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a massive effort, not just for Paul, because I know that he'll have appreciated that support as much. But phenomenal stuff. It's, you know, 42 miles a day for 29 days.
Aye.
On no just plain sailing terrain, and just to be able to, you know, get your mind round that and be able to then pull it off.
Aye, it's actually mind-blowing when you think about it. So it would be great to hear the detail of, because there's bound to have been some highs and lows and everything in between.
I will be looking forward to reading all about it and hearing all about it over the next few weeks. Feet up now, Paul. Rest, refuel, recover. You'll be probably already planning the next thing in your head. We know that. You've certainly done a no bad benchmark FKT for John to follow sometimes.
Oh, man. Oh, I must give a quick update. I'm not going to be running anywhere anytime soon. I mentioned last week that I had the old COVID, tested positive for that. So my isolation...
Is that COVID with a D or a T?
It's a T at the end. That's what we cry around about here, COVID. So You know what? I feel much, much better today. My isolation period finishes tonight. I might be at midnight the night. I'm desperate to get back out and about. It's been a long 10 days stuck in the house or in the garden. And I've taken the decision just yesterday that I'm not going to be running the Connacht Canter, which is taking place this weekend. I think I said in my withdrawal email that I think I could run 3.8 miles, never mind 38. So, but I wish everybody that's taking part all the very, very best. I hope it's a great success. It's a fantastic place to go running and be out and about. And I hope it's not a one-off and I can get a wee chance to get a wee run at it in future years. So, but I wish everybody all the very best for the Connacht Canter. But I'll not be there.
Ah, there'll be a lot of people devastated to hear that. That you'll know be there. They were running with John Cassidy was probably the main reason that they signed up.
Looking forward to my piss chat.
But no, it's the right decision, John, and there's no point doing something daft. You've done plenty of daft things in your life, so that list is full.
Thank you. I think that's a compliment. I'll take it that way. Right, listen, another thing we need to speak about.
What's is that?
The Ochterada Running Festival. What's the crack?
It starts this Friday, which Friday is the day that we publish this. So it starts today, if you're listening. Right. And it's a hybrid sort of version of our running festival, which I am assistant race director of.
Are you the vice director?
The boss, that's Fiona, my wife, is the director. So yeah, a little vested interest in speaking about this, but it's... Yeah, it's a 10K and a half marathon that's happening between Friday, the 10th of September, and Sunday, the 26th of September. So it spans over 3 weekends. And yeah, we're doing it. You can either run it virtual or you can come and run on routes that we have made up in Ochterarda. And there's loads of stuff going on. There's a lot of the local small businesses in the high street in Ochterarda have gotten involved and are putting on an offer for the runners, so you can get a ice cream cone someplace, a Mars bar someplace else, a bottle of water someplace else, wine and beer, gin, things like that, all available.
Sounds like a party.
Well, exactly what it is. So yeah, remaining entries for that are available still, and yeah, it's pretty good value. And the medals, which actually just arrived this morning from the medal supplier, are looking great. We pride ourselves in some decent bling, because we quite like a bit of bling hanging up in the downstairs lavvy.
Aye. Multiple lavvies, right. Anyway, I must say I've been present, I think, at most of the Ochterarda running festivals, and I've been very jealous of the medals I get handed out over the years. They are pretty special, and I was blessed and able to participate last year because it was virtual. So I managed to get myself a 10K, a half, and a double dare. Got the full whack.
That's the full collection. The double dare, of course, is running both the distances and saving some money into the bargain.
Aye, definitely. Aye.
And you get an extra bit of bling if you do the double. So
aye. And I didn't think you've obviously worked very hard. I didn't think there was as much that chocolate, bananas, water, wine and beer and all that carry on last year. So it's obviously you've upped the game.
We have. We were conscious when we were arranging it that we didn't know what September was going to hold. It's usually a weekend in September and it's a normal race. Hopefully that will be back next year. So we had to kind of take the decision of doing this sort of hybrid-y thing where we had a race window because there was just too much uncertainty about having an actual physical race. So get involved. Go and have a Young Hearts Run Free blast at it and see if we can get a Young Hearts Run Free ARF Ochterarda Running Festival champion. I'll be running the routes.
Oh, brilliant, man. Brilliant.
Yes, sir.
Okay. You know what?
Might even get a sticker if you want.
We've got another segue, actually. You just keep loading these up. It's almost like a conveyor belt this week.
Yeah, entries are on Entry Central, by the way.
Okay, we can post that link. I was looking at some stuff on Facebook. I've started dipping my toe back in the big Facebook pond again after falling out with them, but I'm back in a wee bit. And I noticed that the Glenmore 24 was on last weekend. Well, I knew that, but I also noticed some previous of the purple ARF running tops were on display at Glenmore at the weekend. So the Auchterarder Running Festival gets very good t-shirts and stuff as well. You doing t-shirts this year?
No, it's no t-shirts, it's buffs. Sorry, snoods, we can't call them. Did it start, for fuck's sake? It's event snoods, which are quite cool. But yeah, no t-shirts. But we also had a trees not tees type thing going on where you could donate. If you didn't want a buff or a medal, you could instead donate to the Scottish Woodland Trust. So there's a nice wee option.
So you can be environmentally friendly too if you so desire. Brilliant.
Exactly. But, yeah.
But Glenmore 24 is one of these things on the Scottish running calendar that's great to see back again, isn't it? It's almost like normality is creeping back into what we know in that running calendar.
Yeah, no, it's one of the highlights on the running car. Then there's another few 24-hour races come up, but this is the original one in Scotland.
Yeah.
It's got a certain draw to it, hasn't it, in terms of the vibe that is created at it, and you know the whole experience, not just the actual running part of the 24 hours or 12 hours, the 12 hour option as well, but the whole experience, you know, the Friday and arriving and getting set up and the camaraderie that goes along with it is there's a certain magicalness. Is that a word?
Definitely. I think it appears in their dialect dictionary.
Perfect. Okay. And yeah, and I've done it before. John's been supporting me. John's got it on his radar.
Definitely. It's the last, I think I've said before, it's the last of the BAM / Rocket events that I've got to do to get to finish that. And you're right, there is that magicalness about it. And that's the people that make that. And I think it is a wee bit different this year in that it was COVID friendly. There was other things you had to put in place. I think you had to test and stuff before you went up and make sure that everybody was hunky-dory. So that was good. And there was a good few Young Hearts Run Free listeners represented.
There was. I caught that on, you were saying about social media. There was a right noise about it on social media, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Brilliant to see. And there was a lot of familiar faces involved. Or, well, we say familiar faces, people that we know are regular listeners. So a massive well done to all those that achieved their desired mileage target or no. Who cares?
I tell you somebody that did. Previous guest, Jody Laird.
Previous podcast guest, Jody, managed to, well, I'd say he had a successful weekend. She'll probably be saying I done shit or whatever, but we know that's not the case. Because
I think what's the word she used? Is it twined? Which I think means you're a money fucker. But twined, I think she twined. She says she twined, but she hit the 100. She got over 100. She got the
fantastic.
She got the big hooter thing that you get when you get the 100. So I would call that a massive success. So well done to Jody. Unfortunately, another result of the COVID, Jody was meant to be coming in to see me on the way home, but she couldn't do that because there's a big barrier around my house. So, Jody, she also had a mammoth journey up and back home. You know, so but well done. Well done.
Yeah, no, hope you're all enjoying a bit of feet up time, everybody who succeeded at Glenmore at the weekend. And any other races as well that people were involved.
Stevie boy, you keep just lining them up. Get your feet up. That takes me into schwanker conversation.
Ah, of course, the old schwanker conversation. We like a bit of schwankerism.
While we were chatting, Stephen got a delivery. He got an old Avon ding-dong at the door. It wasn't Avon that he was getting. Oh, Stephen got a schwanker delivery.
It was the DPD boy, who I'm on first name terms with. Good lad. And it was one of those ones that I was tracking all the way, getting on the app. I'm like that.
Yeah, your delivery is eight comes. Stops.
Oh, here it comes. Here they come. Around the corner. hello, tore into the box, and yeah, it's the new road running shoes.
Okay, so is this an eye on London for you?
This is an eye on London. This is an eye on life, John.
Oh, wonderful, wonderful. Tell us more. Tell us about colour. Tell us about weight. Tell us the name. For the schwankers amongst us, no me. Tell us the name of the shit.
So I've got Nike's Next Percent Vaporfly 2s. Okay.
Or is this on the back of the Jason Kelly chat?
No, just exclusively the Jason Kelly chat. I have been polling and canvassing quite a lot of trusted individuals. You'll know who you are. to get their opinion on them, because it's a hefty purchase and I've been saving up my pocket money, so to speak, to we're at half an eye on these, and yeah, so I'm like, do you know what, for London, it's now 3 weeks on Sunday to London, and I'm just needing as much wee confidence boosters as I can, and if I can get that wee bit extra confidence boost in my head and they actually work as well, then I thought now's the time to just join the club.
Definitely.
So I'm a bona fide schwanker.
Oh, you were anyway.
I know, but even more so.
I think you're the leader of the schwankers.
No, I'm not. There's bigger schwankers than me.
I think too, I just to clarify, I was not consulted with regards to this purchase, because I've got two criteria. How much are they and what colour are they? That's my two criteria.
And John's criteria for that is, how much are they? Are they the cheapest things that are going? And are they the most hideous of colours? So I've kind of dofted my cap to you a wee bit, because they're no the bonniest in terms of the colours, but they were the colour that caught my eye.
So. There you go, brilliant. And they're the colour that will also catch the eye of the London public. As you batter your way around that route.
The thing is, I know I'm going to get down to London and like at least three quarters of the people I'm standing beside will be wearing exactly the same shoes. Also, like, it'll be like the Schwankers convention.
Everybody in their go faster shoes. You know what though? It can mentally give you a wee boost to be wearing a pair of shoes that.
It's like when you were a kid, you got a new pair of trainers and you were like all of a sudden faster than everybody in the playground, innit? So that placebo effect, don't underestimate it.
I had the fastest wellies in Lethem. There you go. Right, man, we're way all over the place.
Oh, man, no See. Half. No half. Yeah. Before we get to our guest, we've got other stuff on our list, but it can wait. I'm wanting to hear from Nicky.
Aye, let's do that. Maybe what we should do, actually, is I think we tweeted about it towards the weekend, is Derek Fish. Give him a wee bit of a nod. That was a phenomenal effort for Derek last week. Not just last weekend, last week. It was brilliant,
absolutely,
wasn't it?
No, he did the Swiss Peaks 360, so 360 kilometres with near 100,000. Oh, no, wait a minute. I'm going to start quoting it because I'll get it. I'll underplay it. But the climbing and ascent on this was just, like, incredible. So, yeah, he... finish that. That's all he can really say. I want to catch up with him about it and see, get a wee bit of the inside track. So,
Definitely,
Derek, give us a shout.
It'd be good to do that. And if you don't, it's going to be worth following Derek on Strava or social media just for the photos of that week. Absolutely phenomenal. But
are you on about the photos of food?
No, I'm talking about the scenery.
Oh, right, okay, sorry. I thought it's not like you to appreciate normal photos. It's usually just pictures of my tea that John gets excited about.
Right, let's get to Nicky and Debbie. Let's do that.
Yes, that's them at the door now.
Brilliant. So it's quite a very brief intro for Debbie, but we'll just set this up. This was Debbie speaking to Nicky Gibson about Nicky's running journey, and but more specifically about Nicky's experience at the Anglo-Celtic Plate recently over in Dublin, where she represented her country. Here you go. Here's Debbie and Nicky.
Enjoy.
Hello. How are you? I have the pleasure of taking over as host, and John has assured us he's going to go on mute, which is already a life goal of mine. So... That is wonderful. Anyway, it's lovely to see you, Nicky. You're looking remarkably fresher than the last time I saw you when we parted ways at Edinburgh Airport. How are you feeling? How's your recovery going?
Remarkably fresher. I'm feeling remarkably fresher. Yeah, I'm significantly less fueled on crisps than I was at that point on Sunday morning. So there's the food reference in there already.
Well, I'm not going to lie. I've been following your Insta stories and you seem to have been going a bit gung-ho in the post-race celebration. So
I know, but now I'm back on it and my Instagram stories are filled with carrot sticks, which is making me a bit sad, to be honest.
And I make
but,
unfollow you when I come
Yeah. I was cooking my dinner tonight and I said to my other half, I was like, it's a baked potato and a bean sprout and pinto bean salad. And she just went, she was just like, no, I've just had baked beans and cheese, thanks.
Excellent. I know. Full choice. So before we had this interview, I just had a wee quick look through some of your running history just to get an idea. Obviously, I'm acutely aware that as of a few weeks ago, you were not an ultra runner. And you returned from Ireland an ultra runner after not only participating in your first ultra, but smashing 100k and representing Scotland. Can you just give us a little bit of background? As far as I'm aware, that you started running in 2012 and it looks like you did 10k.
Yeah, I started doing a bit of triathlon to lose a bit of weight, really. And then I moved down south and running just became a bit easier. It was like I didn't need a pool, I didn't need a bike, you know, it wasn't really weather dependent. All I needed was my trainers and obviously my Garmin, and I could just go out and do it whenever, wherever. It was just a lot more accessible to me at the time. And then I just got really into running as well, really enjoyed it. And I did my first marathon as Paris Marathon.
Saw that. You looked like you did, you jumped from a 10K to a marathon quite quickly.
Yeah.
So was the 10K your first race? Is that what you signed up for to start running?
Yeah, I think it must have been. I think I did like the Bupa 10K in Edinburgh or something like that. I might not have even been a member of a club, but it might not even been a record of it. But I did it in like over an hour. And then, yeah, I moved down to Loughborough and I was running kind of every evening. No like training plan. I think I just went out and ran at 8 minute miles every night for however many miles, just totally winging it, really no idea what I was doing. And then yeah, did Paris and did that in 3:31. So I was quite I had no concept of that, if that was good or bad or anything at the time. Just was what it is what it was, and it was kind of chuffed to bits to have done it, really. And I suppose that's when I got the marathon bug.
Yeah, it's a great marathon in Paris, isn't it? Yeah, it's a really good course. I think I did it 1 year and it was over 30 degrees and I was so wasted that I didn't even know it's the Eiffel Tower. Completely missed it. So obviously you went from a 3:31 marathon runner and then you took like a nice 30 minutes off that, and I think your PB sits around 3:01 just now.
Yeah my kind of official serious PB is 3:01. So once I got back from the Paris Marathon, I started running. I was living down in Loughborough and I started running with Charnwood Athletics Club. Loughborough Athletics Club was a bit serious for me. So I went to Charnwood and that was my first introduction to like interval training or anything serious like that, really. And it was a really good introduction. It was a really nice group and it just gave me a kind of taste for running, really, and like what running with a group could be like. And then I moved back to Edinburgh and I joined Edinburgh Athletics Club, and then it was just kind of straight from there, every Tuesday, every Thursday, training with those guys, and I just loved it. It was just great.
So you're still training with those guys regularly?
So obviously COVID has kind of, we've not been training as a group, and then I had gone back when we were allowed, and then it was shut down over Christmas again, and then I kind of got the ACP call up, and it didn't really fit with, I couldn't do 60k on a Sunday and go and do a track session on a Tuesday night. It just didn't really fit with the kind of marathon training for me. But I'm hoping to go back in a couple of weeks once I've recovered to on a Tuesday night. I can't cope with a Tuesday, Thursday anymore. I can't recover in time. It just totally wastes me. Yeah. I can do a Tuesday, Friday, a Tuesday, Saturday, but I can't do a Tuesday, Thursday. Just too smashed for it.
Can you just give us a quick kind of snapshot of what your training looked like between obviously going from a marathon runner and getting the call up to run your first ultra for Scotland? I mean, that's daunting for even seasoned ultra runners. Can you just give us an idea of what your training looked like in the lead up to the race?
Yeah, it was daunting. And I if we'd done this podcast before I'd run the race, I would have said, like, I felt like I did loads of things wrong. In hindsight, it all went better than I could have imagined. So now I'm like, was that just, did I do a lot of things wrong? Or did I do everything right? So I'm still not sure. I'm still learning about it. But I just went with marathon training. I heard Rico, who's one of the guys, say that he was sort of marathon training Monday to Friday and then ultra training Saturday, Sunday. And that's sort of kind of the philosophy that I went with as well. So I was probably peaked about 130 miles. So I was doing between 120 and 130 miles a week.
Jesus! That is a chunky, chunky week. Yeah, that is. Just for listeners, that's not normal, by the way. But yeah, that is a really chunky week. So in terms of the lead up to the race, what was your highest mileage for your run?
In 60K. Yeah. 60K.
Yeah. And do you think that stood you in good stead when you got into the race?
Yeah. So I did 150. I'd been doing basically, I'd done marathons most Sundays, and then I did 150K and then 160K. So I think with having a quite high like standard base, it was okay. If I was to do it again, I'd want to do at least more 50Ks, probably another 60K. And I also only did those 50 and 60Ks. It was just time on feet. I just totally jogged them. So my 50, 60K took like 5.5 hours. Whereas if I was going to do it again, I'd put a bit more pace into that. But as it was my first one and I had no idea what it was going to feel like, I just totally jogged it. Just took it as easy as I could.
I think we're all winging it and everyone is winging it. No one really knows what is a tried and tested ultra marathon training schedule. I think you just do what's best for you.
Yeah.
So I take it with that mileage, you were doing quite a few long back-to-back weekends.
I didn't really do back-to-back runs. I've like read a fair bit, and I know it's quite, opinions quite divided on whether that's useful or not, but I'd kind of do 12 to 14 on a Saturday and then upwards of 42 on a Sunday. So my Saturday wasn't short, but it's not, I wasn't doing 20 on a Saturday, 30 on a Sunday or anything like that.
All right, okay. So let's just talk a little bit about the race, if that's okay with you. So obviously we all met at the airport on Friday morning and everyone just looked like a little bit startled. And obviously I got to know you at the airport, and obviously when I first met you, you started swearing and I was like, that's that. We've already gelled. That's our good besties for the whole weekend. You know, you're a likeable character and you're very, very friendly. So I think you just slipped right into the team straight away. And it is a really warm and welcoming team, as you will know. And then obviously we all arrived and we had the drama of travelling to Ireland or travelling out with the UK, which was a little bit stressful before the race, the lead up to the travelling. But anyway, it all worked out completely fine. And during the race briefing where, you know, Adrian's giving us the pep talk and the team talk, and I think everyone just looked a little bit nervous, but you even admitted yourself that you felt quite tearful.
Yeah.
So how was that feeling just going through that team meeting?
I'll get tearful talking about it again. I have to try and hold it together here. I just had a lovely time up until then. I just felt really, really privileged to be there. And everyone was so lovely and so welcoming. And I just felt that I was like, even if tomorrow goes to absolute shit, I've had a great time. Like, I've really enjoyed this experience. And the things that you and Adrian both said in that meeting about deserving to be there really hit home. I just really appreciated everything that was said. I thought it hit the mark type thing. I was pretty nervous. Incredibly nervous. Yeah, everyone's
nervous before a part run. It's okay to be nervous. You know, especially because you're going into the great unknown. You don't know what's going to happen after 26 miles. So for you, that was that added layer of nerves as well, of not knowing what was going to happen. Obviously, we're going to talk about the race, and I don't want to like steal your limelight, but from outside and watching your race, obviously when the race all started and you seemed to settle into your groove, And then it might have been about an hour, 2 hours, and I don't even think it was that long into the race. I could see your mind was just starting to go. And I think you just got to a point where you'd done a few laps and you were just like questioning your life choices, because a loop course is really hard, because, you know, 100K especially, it's a really raw race. It's like running three marathons, you know, it's marathon effort, but let's just say three times longer. So it is a really hard race. There's not a lot of room for error. And if you're doing it on a looped course with that added pressure, so what I could see was you starting to unravel a bit in the first couple hours, and I could see you were like clutching at anything. And then we kind of got a little bit further, and then you were coming in, and we just knew we had to get you out, we had to get you going, we had to keep your mind focused. And then it was like there was like a light switch moment, and then you just settled into it and you were happy. I mean, obviously you're going to hurt. It's 100K. It's not cocktails on the beach. There is going to be mechanical, emotional, physical, mental. There's going to be all those stresses that you're going to experience at some point, and if not all points during the race. But it was just, you got to like halfway and then you were fine. Whereas other people would be fine at the beginning, and then you would start to see things slide, and they would be angry or upset or pissed off about having to go out another lap. But you just seemed to get into your wee groove, and then once you'd settled down, you were fine. Is there anything that you do mentally, or is it just something that you just need to settle into?
It's something I need to work on, because I absolutely knew that was going to happen. So like the night before the race, or the day before the race, they'd said no headphones. And I don't always run with headphones. I'm not someone that can ever run with headphones. I wouldn't wear headphones if I was going to do a session or something. But I absolutely knew I was going to freak out in the first couple of hours. I was like, if I can get through them, I'll be fine. But and sure enough, that played out. Whereas I think I need to adapt my psychology, where I just get over that and think you're going to be fine from the word go. I'd almost predicted what was going to happen, and then sure enough, it happened.
So you've obviously got that experience where you've learned that in the early stages, there's things that happen, and I would say it was emotional and mental rather than anything physical that was happening to you, because I could see the strain in your face, and it was like your head was just getting kicked in going around in those laps. And you know, if you haven't run a lap course before, but honestly, I was looking at you and I was like, oh, this is not going to end well. I'm not going to lie. I was like, maybe she's just bitten off more than she could chew. And I was totally eating my words after that. Just kind of, you just went round like a powerhouse is the only way I could describe it. In the latter stages, when you just kind of settled down a little bit. So, I mean, obviously you've got that experience where you know that that's going to happen. Whereas I guess a lot of people who would have had come up against that would have probably pulled out before they had the opportunity to overcome it. So
it was just getting to every little milestone for me. Like I had a sock issue, so we changed that, and then that, because that was just cutting off my little toe. But once I got that changed, I could kind of settle in. And I was running with, like, everybody was lovely. Everyone that I ran with was absolutely lovely. But I was running with an Irish girl who was really chatty, and I know that you would think you want people to chat to in the early stages to kind of make the laps pass quicker. And I'd made a decision about whether I went with Morgan and Ali, because I was like, do I go with them just to get some chat to make this pass quicker, even though that's at a pace that I know isn't really what I want to run? Or do I just run my own race? And I absolutely sat back just to run my own race. And I was running with this lovely Irish girl, but I was just like, I just don't want conversation here. So I just kind of did a bit of race management and just went to the toilet for a couple of minutes, because I didn't want to say, I don't want to run with you. But I was like, I just need to be in my own space. Once I got through 20K, I was like, let's go. And then honestly, 20 to 80K, just pretty comfortable. Not comfortable. But I think
it's a stretch to say that you're comfortable. Because it's a hard format.
I wasn't jogging. I didn't feel like I was jogging. Do you know, it's not like you go out and you're like, oh, I'm just putting along. Do you know, it was like I was working reasonably hard for most of it. But it was just about getting to, I was just like, just get to the marathon, just get to 50k, because you know you can, you know, you get some paracetamol at 50k. Just get that's what you're looking forward to. Just get to 60k, because I was like, you can't drop out before 60k because you've done more than that in training. So you've at least got to get to 60k. And then it was about, right, get to 75, because that's only a quarter way to go. And then it was just countdown from then. So I kind of, once I was over that initial hump, I knew that I'd be okay.
Right, okay. So you broke the race down in distance rather than laps? Is that how
No idea how many laps I'd done.
Yeah, I mean, that's really good. If you can switch that off, that's kind of half the battle. So in terms of, you know, things worked on the day, so the weather was, and I think on paper it looked ideal because it was overcast, it was quite mild, there was going to be a bit of rain, and I looked at it and I was like, this is actually really favourable for racing. I always do, like, if I go out and it's a good day, I'll be like, this is perfect 10k conditions. That's how I monitor, like, weather. And I think on paper it did look quite favourable, but when we got there we soon found out that it was really quite humid. So it was maybe about 18 degrees or something and overcast, but the humidity was like nearly up to 90%, and then we had a whopping thunderstorm in the middle of it, which was like the rain just, I mean, it was one of those kind of flash flood type moments. How did you feel in terms of like the external factors that you couldn't really control? Do you think they played a part in how your race panned out?
During that thunderstorm, I was like, where is the cameraman? Because this is my Men of Oregon photograph. I was like, that way, I was like, this is going to be my profile photo.
There was no one out with electronics anywhere. I mean, it was a good thing it shut up the guy on the microphone.
But I was like, this is the photo. This is, if doing 100k on a loop course wasn't hardcore enough, I've got no headphones in and it's fucking pissing it down. I was like, get that camera out.
It was literally flowing. But yeah, up until that moment, there was an Irish guy on the mic who was like...
just slagging everyone off.
Oh, he was ripped into everyone. Yeah. I don't know. Obviously, I don't know if you could hear it, depending on how far you travelled. But John, you would have loved this guy. He was just literally, everyone who came across the line, he had a comment about their outfit and whether they were wearing cheap shoes. And he was basically pointing out who was going to DNF, who was going to finish. And it was just, it was real quality Irish banter. He was absolutely brilliant. But then obviously when the storm hit, and I think he realised he shouldn't really be out there with anything electrical, and then it kind of stopped. But thankfully the storm passed quite quickly.
In terms of like the external factors, I just like, so the headphones thing, then I was like, you can't control it. Like, so don't get stressed about it. Just, and I said to you at one point, because there were people wearing headphones, I said to you, I think, can I get my headphones? And you went, no. And I'm so pleased that you said that, because I didn't need them. And I'm more proud of myself for doing that without them. And I mean, imagine if you did it and you got disqualified because you're wearing headphones. It's just not worth it.
I mean, it wasn't because I was being mean to you. But, you know, the rules were quite clear that no fucking headphones, I think, was the... instructions. And although yes, we did see people doing that, but just because they were doing it doesn't necessarily mean it was the right thing to do.
Absolutely.
And you don't want to, and plus other people were looking at the people who were actually on the Irish team who had their headphones on, and people were looking at them and almost like, you know what, they were breaking the rules, and it's just not fair that they were doing this. So I was surprised they weren't asked to take them out, but I knew when you were kind of having your wee moment early on, if I could just stick some headphones in you would have been fine. But I just, that wasn't an opportunity that I could present to you at that moment. So yeah, you should be really proud of yourself that you worked through it.
I'm so grateful for so many things, but for you just saying no, you're not having them, I was like, that's what I needed, because then I was like, right, it's not an option, just stop thinking about it. Like the whole thing about loops, the whole thing about headphones, I was like, you've got to run 100k. All these other factors don't change the task that I've got to do, whether it's from A to B or if it's headphones or no headphones, you've still got to run 100k, so just get on with it.
So what things did what things went well during the race for you?
I felt really strong from about probably 25 to 80k. Nutrition went really well. I had absolutely no nutrition problems. I had a plan that just completely, I couldn't even tell you what happened in the end. I think I was just guzzling coke and salt tablets.
You know what? No one's up to the plan at all. Maybe Chris. Maybe I think I wasn't really, because Chris and Jason had their own crew, so I wasn't really over familiar with what was happening from a crewing perspective. But I mean, obviously, we asked you guys to submit plans, and we just said just keep it loose because it all goes to shit. And I think I was actually really surprised, considering it was only a mile loop, that how much support was needed each lap. So I was crewing for Kyle and Joel, and I thought, well, if I get a couple of laps each from both of them, you know, that kind of splits up my time. But, you know, they were like, say Kyle was doing 7:30 laps and Joel was doing like 8:30 minute laps, and they were like literally coming in, and it was just a case of like filling up bottles, and it just, I was surprised at how much fluid and fuel that you guys were all taking on and consistently every single lap.
I mean, you guys looked rammed. You guys looked absolutely rammed. And then one time I came into the aid station and I think I got in Kyle's way, and then he was like swearing, and he said, do you just effing give it to me? And I was like, oh my God, and I got in this like superstar's way, and I'm just jogging around here. I think it was Joe taking his drink. I think that's a problem.
I think, I listened to the TRS podcast with you guys on it last week, and I think Kyle was talking about drinking out of those manky bottles, and that wasn't because I handed it to him, it's because I would be standing there with two bottles and they'd come flying by and grab the wrong one, and then I'd be like, fuck, he wanted electrolyte, and I'm standing with another bottle of coke here,
and he's, and I would be like, throwing it over his head. I was like, oh my God.
But yeah, it's really interesting to see how, like, if you put you in a group in a pub, you're all very similar people, so you're all like really friendly, you're all funny, you know, really, you mix well, but then you go into races and everyone is so different, like how they race. So like you've got Joe Murphy, who just goes about smiling and she's happy as Larry, and you know, she looks like she's just been plugged into the mains. It's just like this bundle of energy, and everyone saw that and everyone talked about it. And then you had Kyle, who's just like laser focused, and he just probably needs I wouldn't say more management, but he's obviously really, really driven. And there was a bit where he'd gone from seventh to third in the space of like 45 minutes or something. He just like, you know, if you look at his splits, they are just, they're, I mean, they're not like Joe's. Joe's are like 10. Yeah. But Kyle's splits are really, really good. So he just worked his way through it. And there was a bit where he'd gone into third and there was a chap in fourth who was actually moving faster than him. But we'd kind of worked out that we're in the latter stages, that he had four laps to go. He was in third. There's a guy was in fourth. He was moving. The guy in fourth was moving faster. But it would have taken 7 laps for him to catch him. So I was just trying to, like, he was obviously just getting really distressed about the fact that someone could catch him. And I was like, the guy is like a full lap behind you. You're fine. And he just kept asking me, are you sure? Are you sure? Are you sure? And I was just like, I'm sure he's moving faster than you, so don't fuck about. And I just shouted it.
Yeah.
And I turned around and like the whole Welsh support crew were just looking at me with a mouth wide open. I was just like, it's fine. That's just the way you talk to him.
Yeah, that's what he needs. Yeah.
So I think, and then obviously you were fine once you got over those first few hours. And, you know, Jason, he's like the baby-faced assassin, isn't he? He just goes around looking fresh as a daisy. There's no emotion. There's just, he's obviously really focused on what he's doing. Chris was obviously working with his crew. Obviously, Morgan and Rob had mechanical issues. Yeah. They quite rightly had to pull out. And Ali just needed a lot of attention. And for me, Ali's run was like the run of the day. I think what she went through, and the amount of times that she tried to pull out, I lost count of them. So for her to go on and finish it was amazing. But then, you know, for you to have to go through that mental battle and then come through like an absolute powerhouse, it was just, it was so interesting to see that people who are so alike and gel so well as a team completely act and manage their race completely differently. It was just, I think it was the first time I've ever seen such a contrast.
Yeah.
And the team?
I find it a bit tricky with Ali because I just didn't know what to say. Like, if that had been Joe and if that had been me, I would have said to Joe and Joe would have said to me, get your fucking arse in gear and get moving. Like, yeah. Joe would have been screaming at me and I would have screamed at her and that's what we would have needed. But that wasn't what Ali needed. So just every time, if I went past her, I just gave her a wee pat on the back because I didn't want to be like, are you all right? Because she's obviously not all right. And, you know, she didn't need me to say, are you okay? She didn't need me to say, you can do it, keep going. Like, she just needed to get herself round it.
Yeah.
But I totally agree. Like, what she did for the team, epic. Like, that was a really hard day.
There, and she tried so hard to pull out. And every time she came in, I would look at her face and I was like, don't give an eye contact here. Pretend you don't see her. And then just try and patch her up and just get her out as quickly as possible. And, you know, I think there was one point where she was just like, I want to stop, I want to just quit. And I was like, well, how are you going to feel in the morning?
Yeah.
Because I think we've all been through like races where you wanted to quit and you've gone on and then the next day you think, I wonder what would have happened if it actually just stopped. And it gives you the fear. And I'm sure she's going through that as well. But yeah, the amount of times that she wanted to stop and then hard to go on and just complete that and actually complete it quite strongly.
She
wasn't walking, she wasn't dicking around, she was just grinding and just doing the absolute best she could. So there was no death march into the end. She was really just working all the way. And I think just seeing you guys all together at the end, I think Adrian posted a video of it, and it's just, to me, that just says so much about the whole team and how well everyone really gelled together. So
That again, video just makes me emotional watching it. But like, I missed them. I was spent, you know, like last weekend, I was like, I've literally spent 48 hours with these people, and I'm like, I miss them. Like that last weekend was shite.
So much together. Yes. You do bond together really, really quickly because you've got this one goal.
Yeah.
And you're all working together as a team. Whereas any other time that you go into a race, you know, it's dog eat dog, and it's my time, it's my PB, it's my position. And obviously there's going to be a huge element of that, you know. We saw the way that Jason and Chris were battling it out, and you know, they're a team, but they're in it for themselves as well. So it was just, it was so nice to see everyone just come together for that. And obviously I've been part of the ACP for a couple of years now, and I think that this has been, it's been such a great team. And I think the way that Scottish Athletics support it and get behind it, because I think I did 100K. There's a reason why I've only done 100K. Too hard for me. And, you know, we were all scrambling to get bests, like even matching bests as a team. And, the, you know, England and Wales and the other teams, they just, they don't have the same support that Scottish Athletics put behind the team. So, you know,
I'd
like
to
shout out to Scottish Athletics, because the kit you guys got was amazing. And they really, really supported the team going there. And you know, it says so much about ultra running and Scottish Athletics and how they view it as ultra running, whereas a lot of people see it as some kind of secondary sport for fat people who can't run very fast, is what ultra running was once deemed as. So
We got all the kit that any other team would have got, and we got all the support, and it felt amazing. Like, it was amazing to be part of that. And I thank Scottish Athletics and you and Adrian as well, because you all did so much behind the scenes for all of us to get us there.
Yeah, but it's really, really good that Scottish Athletics do support that. Anyway, I feel like I'm commandeering your interview here, and I'm it's good job John's in mute, because we both like the sounds of our own voices. So what things didn't go so well? Obviously things aren't going to go bad in races, so you know, don't feel like things went wrong. But you know, things that you would change for next time, let me reframe that. So things that if you were going to do another 100k in a couple of weeks time, what would you change?
I'd just be less of a pussy at the start. Like, I just need to get a grip of myself and just get in control of my emotions.
That's a negative. That's not your race strategy. If you can get all the shit stuff over at the beginning, that's like easy street.
But I think I've looked, like, you know, Strava gives you your moving time. I lost 6 minutes over the whole race between shoes, fanning about, going to the toilet, and like, that's not a massive amount of time. I thought it would be more. Over 8 hours, 6 minutes is not massive, but 6 minutes takes my time from 8:44 to 8:38. Do you know? So I just, if I was to do it again, I want to sort some of that out. I don't want to stop for so long. I just want to be able to keep moving.
I think you're being a bit harsh on yourself there. This is really not a long time over 100K. I think if you were to look at other people's 6 minutes, is not too bad.
Yeah.
And obviously you had the Formula One sock pit stop.
That was amazing. Yeah. I was absolutely mortified when I was like, sat down and you took my shoe off and started rubbing cream in my foot. And I was like, oh my God. Oh, I'm so embarrassed. My feet are minging.
On the course.
But it was later on, right? This is probably an overshare for a podcast, but my never. Bum was chafing.
I draw the line.
Which I've never had. And so I said, I need my nut butter on the next next lap. And you were like, where do you want it? Where do you want it? Like getting ready. I was like, just the box. I was like,
although when you shouted nut butter, I was looking for peanut butter.
Yeah.
And I was like, how do you want it? And you were like, I'll just take a scoop. And I was like, and then when I went through your bag, I was like, oh, squirrel nut butter.
Yeah.
There we get it. So the real thumb here is, yeah, you need to lube up your ass before your next race.
Yeah, totally. Never had that before, though. I think it was the humidity.
Yeah. Welcome to the real world, honey.
Yeah.
There ain't nothing glamorous about ultra running.
But I will say, see, if I'd stopped and said, Debbie, put that on my bum, you would have done it for me. I know you would have done it for me.
I mean, we'd never talk about it ever again.
Absolutely.
I never would. Okay, that's grand.
I started walking as well at 80K. I was just walking the aid stations just to get drink down me and pour some water over my head. And again, like, I was probably only 20, 30 seconds max, but... And I don't know if that's what everyone did, but, you know, in my kind of head, I'm like, next time it would be good to, even if you're moving really slowly, to just keep running, to just be able to keep running.
I think when you get to that point, though, like the motion of running and eating and drinking and breathing, and, you know, it's kind of like you kind of lose all those motor skills of things that would come normally. Yeah. And sometimes you just need to. So it's better that you do stop and drink and eat rather than just keep running and not drinking and eating. Sometimes you've got to weigh up the pros and cons. So, but I definitely think 6 minutes is good for 100K. I think you're fine. Yeah. So going from here, obviously now you're an ultra runner. So what's next for you?
Well, I'll take a bit of time to recover. I'll just jog for a wee bit, another week or so. And then I'd like to get back into doing a bit more 10K stuff. This is all my grand plan, by the way. 10K kind of into about Christmas, then start another marathon block, and then given the opportunity, I'd absolutely love to represent Scotland again at the ACP. Obviously it completely depends who puts their hat in the ring, because we've got an amazing pool of talented female runners.
I've heard on a few podcasts that I think people assume that there's some kind of rota between England, Ireland and Scotland, and I don't think it's as scientific as that. I think it's whoever volunteers and is willing to put on the race. So I wouldn't be surprised if it's back in Perth next year.
Yeah, that'd be incredible.
So are you going to go, obviously the obvious question, which I'm sure a million people have asked you, sub 3?
Oh, well, I've done it in my own unofficial lockdown marathon. I ran 2:55. So I need to make that. I need to do that in an official one. Otherwise, it doesn't exist.
Yeah, it's worth it.
Oh, I totally, I totally know that.
You know you could do it. So that's good, right?
Yeah. So I just need to find the right marathon and the right day.
So where did you run your 2:55 unofficial virtual marathon?
Just did it from my house. I just wanted it to be super chilled out. So I just went along the canal, round the meadows, down the coast, down to Gullan. I had two of my really good running mates on the bikes that cycled behind me all the way down to the Gullan. So just I had like my mum and dad out with a wee sign saying, go Nikki. And my niece who said, Auntie Nini, run fast. So,
But yeah, obviously you've got that. In the bank now, so you must think that's definitely doable to do in an official race. So have you got any marathons planned?
No, because I'm a bit funny about it. I don't really want to sign up to something and then it to be cancelled, so I'm just giving it a week, but then you just end up signing up to nothing. But I'll make a decision soon on that. Once I'm kind of back in, I'm not rushing into anything. I'm absolutely in awe of people like Joe and Kyle who are like, right, 24-hour race is next. I can't even think about racing just now. I just need a bit of time. And I just need a bit of training actually as well. Do you know, like between all that training, then tapering, then recovering off the back of it, I just need a bit of fitness back. So I love training. I love training more than I love racing. So I'll just get back, get stuck in to training and then see what happens. Probably look at a marathon January, February time if I can find one.
Good. And so you definitely got your eyes or your heart set on another 100K.
Yeah, I think I probably do. Like the day after, like Emma, my other half, picked me up from the airport. She went, is this it now? Is this what we do now?
And I said, like, yes, darling, this is it.
I went, no.
You feed me sandwiches and lube up my ass.
And
this
pick
is your
me up.
Get a jail free card right now. Are you in or are you out?
Pick me up from whichever location I desire, which is anywhere between 20 and 70K away from our house. And I went, no, that was it. And then every day I've been like, getting a bit closer to would I do it again? And now I'm like, oh, 100%. It's like child. It feels like, you know, women talk about childbirth where they forget what the pain was because they're so, they enjoy, like the ecstasy at the end of it was so, the endorphins, it just makes you forget the pain. I think it's exactly like that. Like yeah,
I think there's like a 24-hour window of like, just think I'm never, ever, ever doing another one. And then, like, oh, there's a race. Regardless of what distance you do, it's all relative, you know, like apart from you never doing this again, it's brutal horrible. And I'm getting whooped by an 8-year-old. But then you always forget and you just go back, don't you? But I do think it's all relative though. It's the effort that you're putting in. It's a really, you know, you, especially in 100K, like you go into a really dark place. And to have that drive to continue at that effort, because like you say, you're not jogging around. It's not a nice day out. You're not stopping and eating sandwiches and taking selfies, you know. It's like a really hard effort. It's really raw and you're really operating on the edge, especially in the latter stages. And, you know, you've got to drive that drive to continue. And I think like the team effort does give you that extra incentive and motivation at the end. And, you know, you're representing your country and, you know, when you talk about Ali would never have continued if she didn't have that team support behind her.
Absolutely.
I've got a list of questions here that John asked me to ask you, and then I haven't answered. I haven't actually even read them, let alone asked you them. So, let's just start at the top. We've been through like number one. Where is your favourite place to run?
Oh, it totally depends. I like lots of different places. I love being up in the hills. I live a mile from the Pentlands, so I love being up there. I love doing a hilly run or even just a flat run up there. I'm by no means a track runner, like embarrassing on the track, but I do love it. Like there's nothing, I think like 6 by a mile on the track is probably my favorite session on a on a Tuesday night.
Yeah. I'll probably not join you for that. John will bring the chips for the end.
I love the balance of like absolutely blowing out your arse, like metal taste in the back of your mouth, like totally dying, to the next morning getting up and like jogging at 10-minute miles around the Pentlands. Like I like both extremes, I think.
Yeah, I mean you're not slow by any stretch of the imagination, because obviously I've been looking at your stats and I think you can correct me if I'm wrong here. So your 5K is like low 18s.
Yeah.
You've got a 38-minute 10K, and it looks like you did the mile race at the track in Stirling in just over five. Yeah. Was that?
Yes, if I can't remember what I did the year before. This year I did it at like 5K pace, and you know when you finish a mile and you're like, oh shit, what was I doing? But yeah, no, I like doing that kind of, I just like doing different stuff really, to be honest, but I do enjoy feeling like a runner on the track.
So would you say you do kind of like most of your weekly miles on roads and speed stuff, and then at the weekend you like to go out to the trails?
Nah, I'd probably just mix it up all week really, and that's the advantage of having it. But Monday's like definitely an easy day, an easy double day, can go anywhere I want, probably just an hour in the morning, an hour at night. Tuesday, 30 minutes in the morning, track session at night. Wednesday, 15 miler up in the hills. I really enjoy that, like And that's one of the benefits from working from home, is I can get up into Pentland for 2 hours, 2.5 hours, and still be at my desk for 9. Yeah, just Thursday, Friday, similar to Mondays, and then Saturday a session and Sunday a long run.
Yeah, I think I'm enjoying this work from home where you can go out and do like a couple hours in the morning and you can still be Zoom ready for 9 o'clock, whereas with all the travel and having to actually present myself and like work higher.
Totally.
So I take it you're working for, are you still working from home or are you back? Do you work for Sports Scotland, is that right?
Yeah, I'm a physiologist for Sports Scotland. So traditionally work out of Stirling. So it's not having the commute is pretty good, to be honest. I miss a lot of my job, but I don't miss that aspect of it.
Yeah. I think a lot of people are in the same boat. They miss the people, but...
Yeah.
So John's coming in for a VO2 max test, he told me.
It's 100 quid, John.
80
joking,
for you.
Obviously, yeah. 70 if I get my coaster.
And if you give the, if you give John Connolly a sticker, it's 150. So okay, let me talk about what's your greatest running achievements. Obviously we've gone through quite a lot of your running CV, so what sticks out for you? If you could only take away like a couple of races, what would you say were your best?
I loved my lockdown marathon because it had the people that mean a lot to me around me. Do you know, it was all my running mates came and supported me and totally just put their Saturdays on hold to come out on the bikes. And I just love a lovely day, just being around people that I love and were there for me and just really supported me to achieve that. So that was great. But then obviously the Anglo Celtic plate was absolutely.
You have to say that now.
Yeah, I mean.
The audience dictates that you have to say that's your best ever.
Genuinely one of the best weekends of my life, let alone running weekends. Yeah.
There was a lot of good laughs, and you know, people have said to me, I know it's like a lot of, but I genuinely had the best weekend. Same. Mainly because I wasn't running. But you know, we had a lot of laughs and it was just a good weekend. And then obviously we had to get the bus at 5. Did we have the bus at 5? And then the taxi driver who picked us up on a karaoke party bus. So yeah. We were all sitting there like half shut knives. Most people couldn't even walk. I was like herding cats trying to get everyone on this bus. And then the guy just turned on the disco lights and it was still pitch black, turned on the disco lights and started blasting Mamma Mia, ABBA. And it was just like, you just woke up in a parallel universe, but we're all just singing and dancing.
I hadn't slept a single wink on the Saturday night. Like, I was buzzing, my head was buzzing, but then I just couldn't get comfortable in my bed either. I was just lying there. I was so, so sore. So I'd been up on eventually about at 3 o'clock. I'd just given up and made a coffee and read my book. And like, so I just hadn't even slept at all. And then we met at the bus in the morning. And Adrian was like, me and Joe were like, we're really hungry. So Adrian was like, pulling out food from his bag, he was like, I've got some apricots. We're like, no. And he was like, I've got bananas. No. Nuts? No. He was like, what about this peanut butter chocolate bar? We're like, aye, that's exactly what we want right now, 5 o'clock in the morning. That's what we want. Stuff your nuts and your apricots.
We bought a tailwind and a gel. Yeah, I think we just want salty foods and stuff then. So going forward, now that you're an ultra runner, do you have any like bucket list races? I mean, the world's your oyster now. Do you have any things that you think, or you've seen over the last few years and you think, I want to do that at some point? Not necessarily this year or next year, but anything that you see yourself doing?
I'd really look closely. Yeah, I'd really look closely at the Glen Ogle this year, but it's just too tight for me, just if I want to actually recover properly. And then it's too tight to train and then taper again. I just wouldn't be fit enough. But I would like to.
I mean, with all due respect to the Glen Ogle, I wouldn't put that as a bucket list. I mean, I'm giving you the freedom to come out with something snazzy here, you know, like Badwater. And you're like, Glen Ogle 33.
That's it. That's my dream.
I think you need to work on your aspirations here.
Comrades. There we go.
That's what I was thinking, right? Comrades.
Comrades. I'm always going to say, like, if me and Emma ever talk about getting married, I'm always like, oh, we could go to Kenya on honeymoon and go on like a training camp in a 10 And she's like, absolutely not. And then I was like, oh, we could go to South Africa and I could do Comrades. And she's like, absolutely not. But definitely maybe another trip, try and get Comrades. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I know some people who make great bridesmaids and ushers. You've got a full team ready for you.
Yeah, I'd be like, actually, my wedding's just going to revolve around the Scotland ACP team. So.
Well, that's, I mean, we could sort that for you. I'd be fine with that.
I kind of like, I absolutely think, I love watching UTMB and I would love to be able to do it, but I'm an absolute pussy when it comes to like heights and hills and trails. So I'd be fine going up, but like coming down, I'd just be a mess. And some of the things that we talked about how busy it is, like I'm not that up for that either.
Yeah, it's very busy, yeah. I mean, it's not very technical. I think when you're over the Italian side, it gets a bit, but it's like manicured trails. You know, it makes the West Highland Way look technical. So
The fling. I want to do the fling.
Yes, the fling.
Yeah.
So fling, that's definitely. You would do so well in the fling as well.
Yeah, I think kind of strength wise, I think I'd probably be all right at it. Probably like next year, if depending on what happens with ACP and everything like that, I think potentially put that on the list.
Fling is a great race. Absolutely great. Yeah. The atmosphere, you would just love it. What about things like the West Highland Way? Because if you don't say the West Highland Way, John's going to cry. Right? I know he's on mute and he's gone off camera, but you don't say the West Highland Way.
I mean, just the sleep aspect of it, I just don't know if I could handle it. Like,
yeah, we stayed awake after the ACP.
And it's ruined me.
You don't feel tired.
Yeah.
Sleepy tired. Well, at least I don't. So
I would imagine.
All that adrenaline and...
I'd imagine I will move for it. This is, you know, my venture into this crazy ultra world, and now all these possibilities have opened up to me, and things that seemed mad now just seem normal. So I'm sure looking now at something that's 24 hours and me going, absolutely no way, give me 2 years and I'll be like, yes, 48 hours. It's like a totally normal plan.
6 days. 6 days all the age. Camille Herron's out doing a 6 day race just now.
Oh, brutal.
Yes.
Yeah.
Obviously, you've said that you're a fangirl of the podcast, so you should know this, and you've been thinking about it all week, haven't you?
I was like, to just say shite. I mean, that's swear universal. All the time. I know, but I was like, that's quite a Scottish word. The only other one I thought about that I say a lot is chum. And when I lived in England, when I was like, do you want to chum me to the shop? Everyone was like, what are you talking about? Who is chum? And I was like, what on earth do these people not get about this? Like, I had no idea that that was a Scottish word until I moved there. And then it was like, chum who, what, where? So chum, put chum as my second word. And I love my chums as well. So there we go.
Excellent.
Like, this is going super deep now. It's kind of what it's all about for me. Like, the girls that I run with over the last 10 years have become some of my best friends. And the relationships that you build and the things you go through and the places you see, the places you travel and the experiences you have. Like, I just think that adds such a depth to my life. And without them and without it, like, I don't know what I'd do. Just be so bored.
You know, you say that now, and like, obviously I've been running for like a long time and I don't have friends anymore who are not runners.
Totally.
And then if I go out with people, like, we've got workmates that we all used to work together and we go out like a couple times a year for dinner, and whenever I go there, all they want to talk to me about is running and what I'm doing and stuff. They don't understand any of it.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's just the way your life revolves now, doesn't it?
Yeah, my parents aren't into sport at all, and my mum comes to all my cross countries. Do you know, I'm like 33 and my mum's still coming to my cross countries, and like, she's got into it over the years. Like, she literally, like, the first time she was like, what on earth is going on? Whereas now she's like, fucking move, like, you know. She's like and I get to, every time I get 10, she's like, you were 10th, and she's, or you were 25th or whatever, and you know, she's counted every single, because one race I said, I need you to count because I might win it. So it was like a really low key one. I was like, I need you to count. So now every single race, she's like, you're 114th. So trained
my mum.
You're
doing a cross country, you're like, oh, I know, yeah. You're like, crush that.
But my mum's always been there, 1, 2, 3, like, so she's part of it now.
Actually, maybe she would make a good counter. That's your 24-hour. That's your 24-hour crew right there.
Oh, there's absolutely no way my mum would stay up for 24 hours, but yeah.
That's a hard stress.
Yeah.
Okay, so I think we'll just wrap that up there, Nikki. I'm always banging on that podcasts should be less than an hour, otherwise I don't even start them. I think I gave Kyle that constructive criticism and he totally ignored me. So it was really nice to chat to you. It was an absolute pleasure to spend the whole weekend with you in Ireland, and you're a formidable person and a wonderful person to hang out with, and I do hope our paths cross again in the future, because you're kind of stuck with me forever now. So it was really nice to chat to you, and just to get a little bit of insight in how your race went. So thank you very much.
Thank you very much. And thank you for, it was so good getting to know all of you. And I had a great weekend, and I'm so pleased to be part of this community now.
Is that them away then, John?
Jeez, oh man, they didn't hang about, did they? It's like we've heard that before, where we've recorded with somebody and we've said, right, just wait a wee minute, we'll stop recording. But that's them off.
That's them down the street. They're a way to get mere miles in a bit, pair of them.
But listen, we should say a massive thank you to both Nikki and Debbie for that interview. I thoroughly enjoyed listening to that. Got some great insight into both sides of it, from a runner's point of view with Nikki, but also from that manager's point of view from Debbie as well. So, yeah. But I think we only felt it appropriate for us to come back and wrap that up.
Because they bookend it.
They just shot the craw, didn't they?
They just, they're right down the street. I don't know. It was like the ice cream van was outside or something.
So,
but, yeah.
Cheerio for me.
Bye for me. And I'm still thinking about this. 120 miles a week training. Good on you, Nikki. Bye from me.